Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have you on board with us today. We're delighted to have you place your telephone call to 904-831-0917. We'd love to hear from you. We just had a lively conversation with Jose. I'm thankful for his tuning in each and every day and his willingness to call in and join the dialogue and discussion. I invite you to do the same thing today. We're talking about sounding the alarm, and I believe it's time that we as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, that we sound the alarm. The scripture says in Psalms 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know the answer to that? We can stand up, we can speak up, we can be heard, we can be seen, and I believe it's time that, ladies and gentlemen, I touched on it just before the news break. I believe it's time that we pick up the telephones, and everyone that's listening to the sound of my voice, you should already know who your legislators are that represent you in your district, both House and the Senate in Tallahassee. Pick up the telephone, call them, email them, send them a letter, whatever process of communication that you want to use, and insist that they pass legislation early on. Time they go in back into session in March, that they pass legislation that will cancel the immunity law that's in Florida and in 28 other states. Let me just give you a little history of that before we proceed with other thoughts. The immunity bill gives blanket immunity that you cannot sue a doctor, a hospital, a medical association if they have given your son, your daughter, your family, your mom, your dad, if they've given them medication like remdesivir. Remdesivir is the number one priority on the CDC protocol for COVID. And remdesivir, it's been discovered, and there's a ton of information out there online that you can research if you use the right search engine that you can research. Remdesivir attacks the lungs, the liver, the heart, and the kidneys. And those are the areas that once a person has been diagnosed in the hospital with COVID, that's the very protocol that the CDC recommends, number one. The second thing is to stab a ventilator down the throat of the patient. No patient, after they've been on the ventilator 14 days or more, has the possibility of surviving. In fact, the actual statistical data shows 86.5% of those that's on a ventilator more than 14 days never come out of the hospital. And then link that with the death drug called remdesivir that's given by the hospital to the doctors. And they do so because it's under the CDC protocol. And if they can document their file that they have treated your family member based on the CDC protocol, they are exempt for the murder that they've committed. That's under the laws of 29 states, and Florida is one of those 29. And it's as a result of the lobbyist, the medical association, hospital medical association lobbyist, that lobbied our legislators to have very little, if any, discussion on that bill and passed it. And I talked with our Duval delegation and asked the question, why? And they said, with no exception, they each one said, because the governor insisted that we pass the bill. My question is, why did the governor insist on it? Because the governor was told that if we do not have such a law that gives total immunity, that our hospitals and doctors will be sued out of business. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a bald-faced, unequivocal, total lie that's been perpetrated on our governor and others in the place of leadership in Tallahassee that forced them to pass that law. Let me tell you this. Some of you have heard this in months gone by in my dialogue and discussion. Ascension's group, Ascension Hospital Group, the one of the larger hospital groups in America, as a result of the immunity laws, they had a net profit of $1.9 billion for 2021. That was a 573% increase. Why is that so? How is it possible? Simply because they cannot be sued for malpractice and for killing a patient, as long as they claim the doctors in the hospital followed the CDC protocol. I don't know about you, but I'm passionate about it. I'm angry about it. I'm hostile toward it because my elder son stayed in the hospital for 71 days and was tortured to death based on the CDC protocol in the state of Virginia. They have the same immunity laws. So, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time we sound the alarm. I believe it's time conservatives, patriots, and Christians stand up, speak up, and be heard and be seen. It is time we do something other than just sitting in silence. Ladies and gentlemen, some 180 million Americans today, have taken the shot, the other shots, the booster, and the booster, been boosted again. And if we were to go by St. Anthony Fauci, Emperor Fauci's declaration, we need to be boosted every 2 months. As a people, ladies and gentlemen, it's been used as a mass genocidal tool to lower the population. Bill Gates, George Soros, and Big Pharma, et cetera, believe that we need to reduce the population in the world by about 1 billion people. Well, they're coming close to arriving at that if they continue to push the boosters because it's continued to kill people. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an experimental death jab. Millions are now sterile, physically disabled, dead as a result of it. The Marxist media, ladies and gentlemen, are still on the payroll. Hear me. The Marxist media is still on the payroll for Big Pharma. Why do I say that? If you turn your television on, it doesn't take 30 seconds in rolling the dial. You'll find some Big Pharma ad with some pill or some drug being promoted. They have bought their way into control of the media by buying hundreds of millions, not millions, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of ads to silence the media from saying anything about the death jab and the dangers of it. Ladies and gentlemen, they're on the payroll. The media's on the payroll of Big Pharma. Thus, they continue to hawk the death jabs. Thousands today, ladies and gentlemen, of young people, young, healthy athletes, professionals, including doctors, have suddenly dropped dead across the nation and around the world because of this death jab. I'm looking at one article, ladies and gentlemen. 25-year-old University of Pittsburgh pharmacy student dies suddenly from an unknown cause, it says. A big pharma student at the University of Pittsburgh died suddenly December the 20th, 2022. Dr. Lindsay Ann Heck, H-E-C-K, 25 years old, died suddenly from an unknown cause in December. She was the valedictorian of her class in 2016. She then received her doctorate of pharmacy degree from the University of Pittsburgh, May of 2022. She was a fellow at the University of Pittsburgh School of Pharmacy and Community Pharmacy Practice Development and Research Department. She loved teaching students, doing research, running multiple vaccine clinics, hear that, running multiple vaccine clinics, and sharing her passion and knowledge with others, according to her obituary. Ladies and gentlemen, she was 25 years old, no comorbidities, as they call it, no underlying health problems. She dropped dead. Ladies and gentlemen, the last count we had, almost 2,000 athletes have dropped dead as a result of taking the COVID jab. I'm talking about 16-year-olds to 25, 30-year-old athletes, otherwise healthy people, drop dead. And yet there's not any recognition by the media, not any consideration. There are few, ladies and gentlemen, physicians, a few scientists that are willing to take a stand and stand up and speak up about the dangers of the drug and the vaccine. Ladies and gentlemen, that vaccine has never been tested on human beings, according to several articles that I have in my archives. Looking at an article that says, more disturbing reports emerge of young people dying suddenly, including athletes. Dateline, January the 9th this year. A teenage girl has become the latest young person to suddenly collapse and die in the middle of a sporting event. It's the latest disturbing headlines involving sudden death among young people in America, often involving heart incidents among athletes in their very prime. Ashley Hughes, only 16 years old, was in the middle of playing flag football, a game she loved, when she started experiencing chest problems. She went to the sidelines to rest, but then collapsed. Research underway on young adults experiencing myocarditis after COVID vaccines. It goes on to talk about the Surgeon General, Florida Surgeon General. This is Florida, State of Florida Surgeon General warns the mRNA shot can cause cardiac arrest and danger of young men, for young men. Goes on to talk about what they're finding in Japan, what they're finding in other nations, ladies and gentlemen, with the same phenomena taking place. In fact, I'm thankful to see some of the nations that are now saying, stop, no more shots, stop, no more COVID jabs, stop, no more death by way of the COVID experimental jab. Here's an article that says, disturbing new revelations about COVID shots linked to myocarditis. Hundreds of young people have died after getting the experimental COVID shots, and now a new report reveals research at the Harvard Med School suggests an eyebrow-raising reason. It could be the spike antigen in the shot itself could be the trigger for myocarditis, which can be fatal, this writer says. Fact checkers in big tech lost another round with purported COVID-19 misinformation this week when the American Heart Association Journal published research suggesting that spike proteins used in the mRNA vaccine can harm people. Surprise, surprise, surprise. They're now recognizing through the American Heart Association that the death jab called COVID vaccine can harm people. The report explained it was a peer-reviewed study in the circulation that looked at the cases of 16 adolescents and young adults hospitalized in Massachusetts with the heart ailment after getting vaxxed and had markedly elevated levels of full-length spike protein in their blood, unbounded by antibiotics, according to the study. In other words, antibiotics have no effect on it, ladies and gentlemen. It is a death jab. It is a COVID vaccine death jab, an experimental jab. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it needs to be understood. We need to warn, sound the alarm bells. In Ezekiel 33, God called Ezekiel to be on the wall, a watchman on the wall, warning of danger to come. And I believe it's reached the apex in time. It's reached the apex in seriousness that we need to take that warning. We need to call every legislator. We need to call city council members, mayors across the state of Florida and for the legislators in Tallahassee and say, stop, stop, stop allowing the government and the governmental agencies, the CDC and the FDA to continue to kill people. We need to stop it, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for it to be stopped. And yet, Sleepy Joe want to impose further restrictions. I'm looking at an article that says, mask mandates returning. The Biden's DOJ wanting to reimpose the unpopular rule. This is Dateline January the 18th. President Joe Biden's Department of Justice continued to fight against the further implementation of further mask mandates. Further, the article states the department continues to believe that the order requiring masking in the transportation corridor is valid exercise of the authority of Congress. Ladies and gentlemen, our Congress, our federal government, I believe, has overstepped their bounds. Government should be of the people, for the people, and by the people. We ought not to be viewed as puppets to simply be mandated by the federal government. We need to be expected then to bow and to bend at what the federal government says. I believe it's time that we go back to the government being run by the people and not by the bureaucrats in Washington that makes the determination on what they want to do for us, supposedly. The statement says, the department continues to believe that the order requiring masking in the transportation corridor is a valid exercise of the authority Congress has given the CDC to protect us. Ladies and gentlemen, don't protect me. Let me make the determination on what goes into my body, what kind of jab I want to take, et cetera, et cetera. But ladies and gentlemen, not only we need to sound the alarm on what is happening, what we've seen happening, what most of us have known is happening, in the realm of the COVID experimental death jab. We need to be sounding the alarm, ladies and gentlemen, in relationship to what we see going on as the nation's politicians are in charge. Now, listen, I'm thankful we have a modicum of change by way of having the majority in the House made up of Republicans. But don't you dare think that they're all knights in shining armor that's riding in on the white horse to save us from Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, AOC, and others. Don't you believe that somehow, some way, because the Republicans now control the House, that some way we're going to have a magical rabbit jump out of the hat and save us? Ladies and gentlemen, our hope ought not to be in government, but in God. Our hope ought not to be in what government can do for us, but we need to turn to God and recognize there's a need for revival in America today, that we need to embrace the truths of the Word of God, that we need to go back to the fundamental foundation that God is on the throne, that God is in control, not government. We need to be willing to say no to governmental orders that we know is against what God's word would have us to do. But ladies and gentlemen, today, the political environment, the economic environment that's before us, in my most humble opinion, Joe Biden is about to be removed, ladies and gentlemen, and who's going to be in charge? I'm looking at an article that says Biden smacked with ethics complaint over classified document scandal. Dateline January the 17th. It was only a matter of time, and now Fox News confirms that it's happened. An ethics complaint has been filed targeted Joe Biden for his lawyer's involvement in the classified document scandal. His organization's complaint in the U.S. High Office of Government Ethics cited the White House counsel's involvement in the document scandal, which involves classified federal papers being found in the office of Joe Biden, found to have been found in two places. They found that something like third or fourth place in his home. Evidently, he had these classified documents stashed in closets, stashed in his garage, stashed in the Biden pen office building, which is bought and paid for by the Socialist Marxist Communist Party of China. China's invested some, I believe, $37 million in that building, that they have free access to, the Communist Party, free access to that building, and yet we had some classified documents stashed in Joe Biden's office there. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden's had these documents now for 6+ years. Have you wondered, have you asked the question, why is it that now after 6+ years, all of a sudden his personal attorneys are plowing through his personal belongings and say, ooh, look what I found. Ooh, look, I found another document. It's marked classified. What gives those attorneys the authority to read a classified document? When they raided Mar-a-Lago, President Trump's Florida home, the FBI that invaded his home, they had FBI agents on the water, they had FBI agents in the air, had FBI agents in the building, FBI agents circling his home. And the FBI agents would not allow the Trump lawyers to go into the building, would not allow the Trump lawyers to look at any of the documents. But here we have Joe Biden's hired hack men that are able to look at the so-called classified documents without having the clearance to do so. There's a problem with that. Now, let me just paint the picture a little further. Why is it that after 6 years, all of a sudden, bingo, we find that Joe Biden has classified documents, that Joe Biden authorized the DOJ, of which authorized the FBI to raid President Trump's home because of having a few so-called classified documents? President Trump had the authority as president to declassify any document. He could put a pocketful in his pocket, leave the White House office, take them to his bathroom closet, and put them there if he wanted to. You know, that's where Hillary Clinton kept the servers that had all kinds of highly classified information on it. She was never condemned by the media. She was never condemned by the politically elite because of that. She used Blitzbeat or something that would wash the hard drives of some 33,000 documents that she had, or articles or information. Nothing was done. But here's Biden now with this all over his house, and he bragged about the fact that they were not stashed on the street. They were in my garage next to my Corvette, 67 Corvette. Later, and he went on to say, and the garage door stays locked. That gives me great peace of mind, ladies and gentlemen, that they're next to the Corvette. That means they're protected, and the garage door is always locked. Never mind the fact that it was just discovered that the visitor's log for his home has been washed. It's been wiped out. No visitors to the Biden home, although you have Secret Service on duty 24/7 to monitor who comes and goes. But all of a sudden, there's no log that shows anybody that's been there. But the ethics complaint's been filed, ladies and gentlemen, and I think it is rightly so. And it's because Biden now, I believe, is on his way out. I believe that Biden is about to be booted from the presidency. I believe that Joe Biden will soon have his last days in the Oval Office. Now, that soon could be tomorrow, could be 6 months from now. But, ladies and gentlemen, I find it strange that there's been the silence about those classified documents for six-plus years. Now, all of a sudden, they, that is the Biden administration, the Biden lawyers, find them, report them, and turn them over to DOJ. You have to ask the question, why? It's undermining Joe Biden. And I believe that there is the high probability that it's not long before Joe Biden will be removed. You might ask the question, well, how will that happen? What will take place for Joe Biden to be removed? How could he be removed, ladies and gentlemen? I believe that they're going to put someone in the office of vice president. Let me just give you the Youngblood hypothetical scenario that I've talked about now for almost 2 years. It's not brand new with me. I've said this for some time. On this broadcast, I've talked about it dozens of times. I believe they're going to find a cushy position to put Laughing Harris in, Kamala Harris. They will give her something that will be either an offer for a Supreme Court justice, God forbid that that ever happened, or some high-paying position in government where she can't be fired. And then they will either put Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, or Hillary Clinton in as vice president. Then they will remove Joe Biden on the 25th Amendment, that he is dumb as a rock and he's lost his marbles, as some would call it. He's cognitively unable to carry out the task. If you've watched him speak for 32 seconds, you understand that 30 seconds of that, he doesn't know where he is. So we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, what I believe is on the horizon to take place. Here's the article. It says DOJ declined to monitor Biden's Biden attorney's search for the classified documents at the president's home, according to the report. It goes on to say the Department of Justice reportedly decided against monitoring President Joe Biden's legal team as it researched the president's Wilmington, Delaware home for classified documents. DOJ officials considered sending the FBI agents to monitor the search conducted by Biden's personal attorneys, but decided against it, against the oversight, to avoid complicating the investigation because Biden's legal team had been cooperative. Ladies and gentlemen, the media is saying the only difference between Joe Biden and Donald Trump is that Donald Trump was not cooperative. That's a bald-faced lie. Donald Trump had been working for 8 months with the DOJ, with the Archives Department, through his attorneys, to resolve the complaint. They had claimed that he had documents they needed in the archives for a future reference. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden's documents were in the open where anybody could see them. Donald Trump's documents were in a closet, a vault built in Mar-a-Lago in his home with a camera on it so the FBI and the federal agents could watch it at any time who's coming and going. The few documents they claimed that were classified that he had were in that vault with it being locked with a lock on it. And yet Joe Biden's were just going floating willy-nilly wherever you wanted to place them, and nothing was said or done for 6 years. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, they're pulling the rug out from under Joe Biden to remove him as president of the United States of America. I believe that we're finding, ladies and gentlemen, the covering of that. I'm looking at one article that says, it's a fascinating article, ladies and gentlemen, laughable but sad. Kamala Harris to become president? Question mark. Shock, shock, shock. Prediction confirmed. Biden aides didn't expect it, but CNN recently made a shocking admission. Quote, Kamala Harris was foisted on us because she's ready to step in when Biden steps aside. End quote. This startling revelation caught many Dems voters by surprise, but with more experts now calling President Joe Biden's mental capacity into question, Dems realized the need to ditch blundering Joe so they can force through their un-American agenda for the 2024 election. That's why Washington, D.C. insiders are beginning to wonder whether or not Kamala Harris is an 80-year-old's heartbeat away from the presidency, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, Tucker Carlson has touched on this heavily. In fact, on one of his broadcasts, an hour-long broadcast, made some statements that I believe are absolutely in compliance with what we see taking place. Tucker Carlson, Dems are pushing Biden out. Fox News commentator Tucker Carlson is pointing out that what is likely behind the classified document scandal involving Joe Biden. It is, Carlson said last night, the beginning of the end for Joe Biden. Joe Biden's own aides keep finding stacks of felonies he's left around the place in his office, in his car, and inside the, and instead of throwing the evidence in the fireplace, as under normal circumstances the Democrats would have done, they're sending these documents to the Justice Department. That's not a good sign for Joe Biden. And Carlson also noted Biden's attorney general, the most unscrupulous, unethical attorney general in America's history, has somehow decided that actually, in order to maintain his unsullied record of nonpartisanship, he's going to have to pass these documents, these stacks of felonies, on to another independent counsel, because they always work out well for the sitting president. And by the way, in this case, the independent counsel is a Republican. Good luck, Joe, with what is about to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the economy crash. We're watching food costs go sky high. We're watching a recession, if not a depression, by the end of this year. We're watching Joe Biden about to get booted out of office. We're watching the potential of having a United States president that is not elected by we the people, but appointed by the Biden administration. When they remove Joe Biden, we will have Kamala Harris, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, or Michelle Obama as president of the United States of America. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we recognize the danger ahead of us. We speak up, stand up. We ask God to intervene and heal our land. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the only hope. We can't depend on government. We must depend on God. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.